Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much, and good morning. Recently, my wife was shopping in Fayetteville. When she returned to her car, she found a circular under the windshield wiper. The circular advertised a local psychic reader and advisor. The woman says she can help all affairs of life, such as business, health, love, and marriage. She does palm, tarot cards, crystal and pyramid readings. She can tell your past, present, and future. The advertisement says that everyone has problems daily and does not know what to do about them. The psychic says she will guide you in the right direction. She encourages you to call for an appointment, but she says she will accept walk-ins. You would think, if you have not studied these matters carefully, that such superstition had died many years ago and had been given an appropriate funeral. It is inconceivable that people who have had any education and who know anything about the Bible would fall for such deception. But, tragically, there are millions of people in the United States who regularly consult mediums, astrologers, psychics, tarot card readers, crystal ball gazers, and such frauds. Many people do not know and have made no attempt to learn about the Bible's condemnation of all these practices. So they continue to consult these deceivers on everything from one's love life to a man's relationship to his dog. Unfortunately, television has made a powerful contribution to this kind of paganism. And dear friends, it is paganism. It has no foundation in fact. I plan in this lesson to examine each of the kinds of readings mentioned in the advertisement. But before I do, I want to turn to the pages of God's holy book to determine what God thinks of such heathenism. There is no better place to begin than Deuteronomy 18. As you no doubt remember, the Lord was preparing His people to complete their journey from Egypt to the land God had promised to their fathers. He was concerned that His people not become involved with the diabolical and destructive practices of the various tribes which were currently living in the promised land. Through Moses, a great prophet, God warned the Israelites, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." Deuteronomy 18:9. Deuteronomy 7:1 lists some of the nations which lived in Palestine. They were Hittites, Amorites, Girgashites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. We would probably refer to some of these groups as tribes, but a few of them were quite powerful. The Hittites, for example, were a very violent people whose territory not only included parts of ancient Palestine, but also a great portion of modern Turkey. All of the tribes or nations mentioned in Deuteronomy 7 engaged in practices which would be difficult for many Americans to imagine. Some of them actually offered their children in sacrifice to idols. Respect for the sacredness of all human life was comparable with the modern views of pro-abortionists and supporters of physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, and infanticide. In other words, all human life was expendable. In addition, all of the heathen tribes in Palestine worshipped many kinds of idols. Very plainly, the people in Palestine had become about as evil as any people could be. The iniquity of those nations had reached the point where God, in His infinite justice, had to destroy them. Genesis 15:16. God specifically listed the heathen practices in which His people could not participate. "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or who uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." For all who do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12. Some of these biblical terms may be unfamiliar to you, but they describe much of what occurs in what is commonly called the New Age movement. I cannot discuss at great length all of these God-condemned beliefs and practices, but I do want to stress some of them as time permits. Please remember that God called all of these behaviors abominable. The word abominable means loathsome, detestable, abhorrent, disgusting. Millions of Americans see nothing wrong with witchcraft, divination, and spiritualism, even though many of them have no particular faith in it. God's view of the matter is entirely different. He commanded His people to investigate any reports of anyone's engaging in these practices. If a person were found guilty, he or she was to be brought under the gates of the city and stoned to death. Deuteronomy 17:2 through 5. If that punishment seems too radical, please remember what would have happened if the heathen activities were not halted. Some of God's own people would be deceived and led into rebellion against God. God wanted to do all within His power to stop it. The Jews were strictly forbidden to make their children pass through the fire. It was a common practice among the Ammonites to offer their children in sacrifice to their god, Molech or Moloch. God's law specifically warned, "You shall not let any of your offspring pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 18:21. Israelite parents who sacrificed their children to Molech were to be put to death. Leviticus 20:1-5. In spite of God's dire warnings about erecting altars to idols, the children of Israel built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Jeremiah 32:35. Even one of Israel's kings, Manasseh, made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 2 Kings 21:6. With all our faults as a nation, we would never sacrifice our children to idols, or would we? Have we not sacrificed 30 million of our babies on the altars of convenience and choice? Ephelgard Smith, professor of law at Pepperdine University, shows in his book, When Choice Becomes God, that millions of Americans are making their choice God. Are we not just as guilty before God when we choose to kill 30 million babies by abortion as were the ancient nations who passed their children through the fire to Molech? God must surely look with disdain on the cruelty of mothers who choose to kill their babies. It is surely an abomination in the sight of God. Not only did God forbid the Israelites to pass their children through the fire to Molech, He also forbade them from engaging in divination. W.E. Vines, an expository dictionary of biblical words, says that divination was a pagan parallel to prophesying. Divination was man's attempt to know and to control the world and the future, apart from the true God. It was the opposite of true prophecy, which essentially is submission to God's sovereignty. Page 100. The pagan diviners used a number of methods to learn the will of the gods, but they were all condemned by the Bible. The diviners of ancient times, like the psychics of today, were deceivers, liars, and enemies of God and of God's people. The modern psychics may use crystal balls, tarot cards, and other occult means of trying to foretell the future. but they have no supernatural power. From a biblical viewpoint, they are all fakes and frauds. What Ezekiel wrote about the diviners in the 6th century before Christ is true of modern psychics, astrologers, and crystal ball gazers. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, "The Lord says," and the Lord had not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, "The Lord says it," albeit I have not spoken. Ezekiel 13, 6 and 7. But how did Jean Dixon predict the assassination of President John F. Kennedy? Was she not in touch with the realm of the supernatural? As a matter of fact, she made an educated guess. And how do we know that? She also predicted that the president's wife, Jacqueline Kennedy, would never marry Aristotle Onassis. She married him the next day after Jean Dixon's foolish prediction. Jean Dixon, Edgar Cayce, and all other psychics and fortune tellers are either deceived, deceivers, or mentally unbalanced. Not one of these people spoke by the divine power of Almighty God. There are some who think they were controlled by demons, but that is not the case either. They were deluding those who trusted them. I know these are serious accusations, but I challenge anyone to disprove them. Numerous psychics have been shown to be frauds, but every time one is shown to be deceiving people, another arises in his place. There is simply no end to people who want to make a living by deception. Tragically, not all of them are psychics or astrologers or diviners. Some of them even wear the title Doctor of Divinity. Danny Corum, whom you may have seen on television, has dedicated himself to exposing psychics, palm readers, and such frauds. Danny Corum's books have been especially helpful to me in my studying and lecturing on the New Age movement. Danny's book, The Fakers, Exploding the Myths of the Supernatural, exposes dowsing, table tilting, the Ouija, automatic writing, psychic surgery, and such deceptions. His second book, Powers, Testing the Psychic and Supernatural, affirms that no one has psychic power. Danny Corum is a professional magician and has exploded many of the pretensions of the psychics. His books are very enlightening. Incidentally, James Randi's book, Flim Flam, Psychics, ESP, Unicorns, and Other Delusions, sends psychics and other frauds into a tailspin. These books are of great importance to anyone who wants to avoid being misled by these very dangerous people. I wish time permitted a full discussion of the other occult ideas in Deuteronomy 18, but it simply does not. Suffice it to say in passing that all of those heathen practices can be found in almost any community in the United States. And they are just as strongly condemned in the Bible as they were in ancient times. They are contrary to the will of God, and they do not provide the information men and women need to live successfully in this world. Then where do we find what we must have? To have good families, to create the right moral atmosphere in our communities, and to have the hope of eternal life. Peter answered that question long ago when he said to Jesus Christ, "Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John 6, 68 and 69. My friends, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. For the remainder of our time today, let us investigate the various ways the Fayetteville psychic uses to provide advice on business, health, love, and marriage. She uses palm, tarot cards, crystal and pyramid readings. Most of us are familiar with so-called palm readings. John Ankerberg and John Weldon's book, Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, defines palmistry or palm reading as the occult practice of predicting the future by the details of the hand, including size, shape, lines, nails, and other features. Page 139. It is one form of divination which the Scriptures specifically forbid. Bernard Gittleson's book, Intangible Evidence, Explore the World of Psychic Phenomena and Learn to Develop Your Psychic Skills, provides an illustration of palm reading. He divides the hand into four major lines: life line, head line, heart line, and line of faith. Page 488. He also gives some observations based on the lifeline which can be made. When the lifeline is well defined, deep, and unbroken, it suggests good health and vitality. When the lifeline is broken in places, it suggests abrupt changes. When the lifeline may have many fine lines all about it, it suggests nervousness and uncertain vitality. Page 489. There are many problems with palm reading. Are we to believe that somehow our present welfare and our future successes or failures have some connection with the lines on our hands? Is that not a form of determinism? Is God's will in some way bound by the physical features of our hands? Besides, the palm readers are not agreed among themselves what the lines on the hands represent. But even if they did agree, the whole idea that our lives are in some way determined by the lines on our hands is an insult to God Almighty. It has no scientific basis whatsoever. It is nothing more than voodooism. Intelligent people, particularly those who claim to be Christians, must have nothing to do with this approach to life. The Fayetteville psychic says she advises people based on tarot cards. I have never seen a set of tarot cards except in pictures, but I know how they are used. They are used like palm reading for divination. Ankerberg and John Weldon say there are 56 cards of the minor arcana and 21 cards of the major arcana, plus the fool, which constitute the tarot deck, a method employed by fortune tellers of all stripes. The influence of these cards extends back to antiquity. Page 135. Tragically, thousands of ordinary Americans and hundreds of prominent people have been deceived into believing the tarot cards have some power to predict the future. Do we live in the presence of a God whose will for our lives is determined or can be known by a deck of cards? Such beliefs and practices are an insult to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has revealed His will in the Bible. Do tarot cards or any other form of divination actually reveal the future? Do they tell us anything about a person's character? They cannot predict the future. But they do tell us that those using the cards and those consulting a tarot card reader have no respect for God, for His Word, and for scientific sources of information and guidance. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's book, Principalities and Powers, A New Look at the World of the Occult, makes the following observation about those who first examined the tarot cards. It is most interesting to observe the reactions of a sensitive person when he first examines these cards. Instead of the indifference which accompanies contact with ordinary playing cards, not just due to their familiarity, but to their banality, there is generally a deep absorption and hushed interest. The cards seem to grab the attention of the user. Page 129. All of this says, dear friends, that any method of divination is an insult to the God who made us and before whom we shall stand in the judgment. While the tarot card reader may profess faith in God, or at least some kind of God, divination is clearly against God's revealed will. Crystal readings have a long and tragic history. Men and women have been attempting to discern and to control the future by use of the crystal ball for centuries and centuries. The technical term is scrying, which Webster's New International Dictionary defines as crystal ball gazing or divination. We normally think of crystal readings as involving a ball, but that is not always true. Ancient people looked into the surface of water or into a mirror. Oddly enough, some very highly educated people are involved in crystal ball gazing or scrying. One example is Dr. Raymond Moody, now of the state of Alabama. Dr. Moody's claim to fame relates to his many books on near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. His books include Life After Life, Reflections on Life After Life, The Light Beyond, Coming Back, and Elvis After Life. Dr. Moody has an earned Ph.D. from the University of Virginia and a medical degree from the Medical College of Georgia. So to put it very bluntly, Dr. Moody is not exactly an ignoramus. Yet he has arranged a room in his house where people can come and meditate, look into a mirror, and be in touch with some departed loved one. But again, to put it very bluntly, all of this is pure tomfoolery. There is no scientific basis for any form of divination, including crystal ball reading. Whatever the motivations of those practicing it, they are deceivers. They are leading men and women away from the only dependable source for guidance in this world and information about the world to come, the inspired Word of Almighty God. They may deny they are doing that, but they are, regardless of their pretensions to the contrary. Incidentally, crystals are also supposed to have great healing power. Whole books have been devoted to the power of crystals. Crystals may be beautiful, but they have no more power in healing or in predicting the future than a blade of grass. And yet, Edgar Cayce, America's most famous psychic, encouraged the use of gems for various occult activities. How can intelligent people be deceived into believing crystals, whether in the form of crystal balls or of gems, can accomplish anything? Pagan people might be excused for associating crystals with some sort of magic, but educated people cannot. The woman psychic in Lincoln County also uses pyramid readings to tell fortunes and to comment on human behavior. Many psychics, mediums, and other New Age gurus attribute marvelous powers to pyramids. I will concede this without any hesitation. Pyramids are among the most fascinating structures on the face of the earth. They give us insight into a civilization which was far more advanced than many modern scholars would like to admit. How were people 5,000 years ago able to plan and to complete buildings as complex and as magnificent as the pyramids? Maybe it tells that human beings have not evolved so much as some philosophers think. But whatever the case, the pyramids have nothing to do with the occult, unless people choose to misuse them for that purpose. Psychics often build small pyramids where they sit and meditate and make predictions. One lady in Memphis had three poles with cloth attached to them in the shape of a pyramid. She spent many hours sitting in her playpen, thinking and meditating. Her time would have been more wisely used if she had been reading the Bible and thinking about God's gracious gifts to mankind. A leading New Age guru gained supernatural power, she says, when her husband made a model pyramid and placed it in her kitchen. According to Bob Larson's book, Straight Answers on the New Age, pyramids are supposed to sweeten water, mummify bodies, maintain the fragrance of flowers, sharpen razor blades, prevent foods from molding, and actually alter molecular structures. Page 68. But my friends, I have news for you. Pyramids are physical structures which have no magical or supernatural power. They may be decorative, at least for some people, but they have no utilitarian or spiritual value beyond that. Do not be misled by anyone who says otherwise. Most thinking human beings, including your speaker, are curious about our origin, our duties, and our destiny. We want to know if we are an accident of nature, or if we came from the very hand of God. If we evolved from monkeys and apes, we can have no purpose in this world. Evolutionists may speak of man's obligations, but they could not establish those obligations by evolution if their lives depended on it. On the other hand, if we were brought into this world by the power of God, we can find what God expects of us by reading His supernaturally revealed will in the Bible. How we respond to God's will for our lives will determine where we spend eternity. Does the Bible actually provide reliable information about man's origin, duty, and destiny? Will you please listen carefully to what inspired writers said on these very vital topics? These well-known words from Genesis assure us that we are creatures of God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Since we are created in the image of God, He has the right to tell us what He expects of us. Has He in fact given us information about our earthly duties? There are hundreds and hundreds of passages which provide what we need to know, but I want to read just one. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. If we live according to the will of God, what will be our eternal destiny? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, 16. If we believe the gospel, confess our faith in Jesus Christ, repent of our alien sins, and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then live for God throughout our lives, we shall receive the crown which fades not away. This information does not come from pagan psychics. It comes from God Almighty. My friends, we thank you for listening. May our Heavenly Father continue to bless and keep you.